the New York Knicks.
I'm back. Back in the New York groove.
Well, it's the Knicks.
New York.
We are the New York Knicks.
New York girls.
But this new season we're about to enter, the Knicks taking no shorts, just like winter.
New York, New York.
New York be about the Knicks, huh?
But the best thing about New York City is
K-N-I-C-K-S.
Everybody say go New York, go New York, go!
Hey everybody, it is the New York Knicks podcast, 301 episodes.
It's like we recorded episode 300 a day ago,
or
2 days
like
ago.
That.
Does feel like that. Jay, how you doing?
I'm busy. I've been very busy.
Busy like what?
Busy with everything. I mean, I'm trying and going to work. I'm going to school, and then I'm trying to constantly look at all these basketball updates.
Yeah.
A lot of basketball updates.
Suddenly the Knicks are interesting. I don't know if in a good way, but they're interesting.
Yeah.
How do you feel about charity, Jay?
I am for it.
Would you give do you want to start the music, Jay? Or we have a little PSA.
Okay, here we go. Some music for your PSA.
Yes. Jay, and could you make it louder so you can't hear me?
How's that?
Jay, there are people starving out there. People don't have food to eat. You can see their ribs. For the cost, the price of a cup of coffee a day, you can change all this. Will you change all this, Jay?
How can I change all this?
For just 70 cents a day, or maybe $1.50, or whatever the price of a cup of coffee is a day, depending on where you are. For the price of a cup of coffee a day, you can feed a Porzingis. Porzingis has no food. You could tell. You look at his frail body. You see the bones. It's like he has. He's like a skeleton. Please feed a Porzingis. Don't let another European come here and have no upper body.
Sponsored by the New York Knicks podcast. That was awesome.
Oh, we are back. We have Porzingis. It's a reality. I didn't wake up and find out that it was all a dream. It's all a reality, and we have to.
Did you read the post that Ian put on our website today?
I did not catch this yet, but why don't you tell me what it's
said? You're gonna feel better about Porzingis after you read this. He wrote. He said that he was mad.
Yeah.
About Porzingis, and then he slept on it, and now he feels much better.
So I pulled up. I don't know what the rest of the article said, mm-hmm. but I pulled up. I figured we should look at this from. I'm feeling a little better about it, and I was reading the Draft Express. Whatchamacallit? I hadn't really looked at the Porzingis. I knew you were so high in Porzingis for so long. I never thought the Knicks would actually draft him, so I didn't really follow him as closely. But here's the. You want to read the scouting report and talk about him?
Sure.
Okay. Porzingis is a prototypical player in terms of the physical attributes and raw skill that scouts salivate over in their search for the next young European big man. Sounds pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
First, his attributes. He is tall, 7-footer, and very fluid athlete that runs the court very well, has a very nice first step, and is a decent leaper. He'll never be a power player in the paint, but his frame suggests that his bulk will be adequate for the power forward position in the future.
You don't want to read Ian's...
Well, just reread this one.
Okay.
Second, I'll read Ian's after. Second are his skills. What distinguishes him from most American prospects at his age is his complete outside game. He can handle the ball pretty well, has a great stroke from anywhere on the court, complete with a quick and high release point. He can catch and shoot or put the ball on the floor to beat any big man off the dribble, going aggressively to the rim to finish or stop and pull up for a sweet jump shot. What sets him apart from other 7-footers is his coordination, his quickness to the to put the ball on the floor and drive to the basket. He's going to be a matchup nightmare in his prime once he gets stronger, probably being the player most resembling a young Dirk Nowitzki that you've seen in a while. This season, he didn't have too many opportunities to demonstrate his skills, but he showed great flashes when given a chance while playing against the best competition you will find outside the NBA. How does that sound?
Sounds amazing.
Are you excited about him?
I'm super excited.
NBA people will surely remember him They say he's very active on defense, being more effective than someone would expect against European small forwards thanks to his quick feet. He tries to do his best against big men, too, with the kind of players he will likely be matched up against in his future career. His main asset is also his biggest problem. While his versatility makes him a potentially very unique prospect in a positive way in the long run, it's also difficult to immediately project him at one specific position in the NBA. At some point, he will have to decide between the small forward and power forward positions, but he will have his weaknesses playing at both, especially on defense. Because he's probably still not done growing, rumored to have grown as much as 2 inches over the last year, his body still isn't mature at this point, and he's right now lacking in bulk. Are you worried about that?
Nope.
That means in the NBA, he will most likely play at small forward on offense, but he'll probably have the trouble finishing at the rim after beating his man off the dribble because of his lack of strength and only average use of the offhand. He has no post game at this point and lacks the lower body strength to play near the basket. What do you think?
I think that's fine.
On defense, there's no way he can guard NBA small forwards, but he'll have to... Well, basically, how does the strength sound? Does it sound like a good player you'd want in this team?
Absolutely.
Okay, you could have him. That's Andreas Bargnani's profile.
Oh, you got me.
That is Bargs. It sounds exactly like what we were going to read for Porzingis. I know they're different people. I know every European guy sounds like this. Come on, that sounds exactly what they're saying about Porzingis.
You hoodwinked me.
Did you have any idea I was doing that?
No, I had no idea you were doing that.
I was reading this thing. I'm like, this is exactly what it's like. What everyone thinks, it's this European star out there, and he's gonna be good because he's from Europe, and everything from Europe is better. He can shoot the three. He's lanky, but he'll get bigger, and he's versatile, and blah blah. I'm kind of worried this is gonna get a gigantic bust.
I'm not worried about his size. If you remember,
well, he's tall. Yeah,
Garnett and Durant were pretty skinny. I think it worked out okay.
Yeah, they weren't from Europe.
Just because they're from Europe, it's going to be a bust?
Yeah, exactly. Things from Europe are soft. But doesn't it... I mean, I feel like people... There's this mysteriousness about it. They're like, oh, he's from over there. We don't know enough. And I feel like people want to project like the best qualities without looking fairly on the guy.
He did.
Like Bargs was not... Bargs is an adequate player at best. I don't know if the guy's going to be any better than Barnes. I don't see why he's going to project better and be as good as Dirk.
He did play in the best league in Europe.
So did Barnes. That's exactly what they said about Barnes.
Yeah, but it's like...
Barnes showed flashes of brilliance.
But you're excited about guys who played college ball against people who will never even come close to the NBA.
I don't know. In college, these guys are 19 and they're dominating college. They're like star players in college. And these guys in Europe at 19 are barely playing in Europe. It's not like Porzingis had a great year coming on, and not like Bargs had a great year before he came here. Wouldn't you feel a little better if the guy like played well in Europe, or wouldn't you feel better if like the best players in Europe came here and did well? Because most of the best players in Europe still come here and they do like okay. Who that guy in Chicago, Mirotic, who's one of the best players in Europe?
Right.
He played well. He's not exactly an all-star.
Not yet. It's been one goddamn year.
Get on that all-star stuff.
Patience, dude.
I'm just a little nervous. So what is... So I've heard two things that I think are sounding insane. I've heard the people say, well, he's number four pick in the draft. He's got to start.
That's stupid. He starts if he's ready to start, and if he's not, he doesn't. That's just nonsense.
It seems insane to throw him in the starting lineup and like mess up his development. The second thing was... He's so raw, he's barely going to play next year.
I don't care.
How is he barely going to play? Have you seen? We don't have a roster. If he was on San Antonio, I could see how he wouldn't play.
You know what my biggest fear is?
What?
That he potentially is not a bust, but the Knicks just destroy him.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
I mean, does this guy have a prayer that the Knicks don't just ruin him?
I guarantee... Training camp starts, and people are already going to be like, why is he not an all-star?
Right.
Played a professional game. Why is he not an all-star? Media, kill him. Kill him, media. Eat his guts.
Yeah, that too. I'm hoping like all his constant criticism doesn't get to him.
Well, I mean, the idea, people are also saying like the, well, it doesn't matter if he's great in 3 or 5 years. We have to win now.
Why? Because Melo wants to?
The whole, if he ends up being great 5 years from now or 3 years from now, we'll all be very excited. If he turns into an all-star at any point and still is wearing a Knick uniform, this works out. This is great.
Right. I'm so sick of all that. We got to win now. Why do we have to win now?
Well, we're not going to win now. Yeah, no matter who we draft, if we got Towns, we weren't going to win now.
Well, that's my biggest complaint about all this. Everyone's like, oh, we shouldn't have drafted Porzingis. And it's like, who could we have drafted that you would have said, oh, cool, now we're going to win the championship. We got Moutier, point guard who can't shoot. We won the championship.
You know, if we had drafted LeBron, we would have won now. LeBron had re-entered the draft.
Right.
I'm using that clause in my Cleveland contract to opt out and enter the draft at the number 4 pick.
I mean, seriously, like if we drafted Moutier, are we going to win the championship? No.
We'd be better. I have some doubts about Moutier, but let's say we had drafted Winslow or even Moutier. There's a chance we'd be better next season than we're going to be because they probably have a better contribution initially. But in the long run, if Porzingis works out to be, if he's really a project that will develop, it works out for us better that way.
Right. My point is, if we're not going to win the championship with him, and we'd only be slightly better with somebody else, but this guy has potential to be way better, what's the point of being marginally better this year?
Well, I just don't think he's going to be way better. But if he ends up being an all-star, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Whenever he ends up being an all-star, this draft worked out.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole... Yeah, you're right. No matter who we drafted, it's not going to really matter. We're not going to be that great next year.
There was nobody on the board where that would have put us over the top. So
yeah, there wasn't a game-changing player, but you have some very good players. So, do you want to cut the? You did an interview with Joey Nicknuts, right?
I did. We just have to mention one other thing. We didn't even talk about how Phil ended up getting us a second rounder.
Oh yeah,
we did the show before.
We didn't talk about that because when we last did the show, that was. That had not actually happened yet.
Right.
So
you're probably real happy about this.
Yeah, I know, because he's European. I don't like... I love the stash pick. I do love the idea that he got some guy in Europe who's going to play there for another year or two, and then we bring him... As long as we can bring him over here, I'm happy.
He was also Porzingis' teammate.
I'm fine. We used the number 35 pick on him, not the number 4 pick on this guy.
Right.
That, I don't mind. If we had drafted Porzingis in 35, I'd be very happy. It's amazing how he fell so far to us. I can't believe he got like that. I can't believe Philly gave up the 35th pick in the draft for 2 second rounders.
You know, both New York teams gave 2 second rounders, 2 second round picks to get 1 second round pick.
It is kind of funny because it's like win now. We're trying to like, and then you draft a guy you're not going to get here for another couple of years.
I don't think the Knicks are in win now mode. I think.
They're clearly not in win-now mode. They drafted two guys that are not going to be that aren't going to be performing for a couple of years.
I think Phil realized that we have to do the long game, and then he's like, oh, yeah, we also have Melo, so this is kind of awkward now.
Well, here's the fair thing about Porzingis. I know he didn't play that much in Europe, but if he can shoot the three, in Europe, he can shoot the three here. It can't be that different,
mm-hmm.
Which means he could probably be at least – Steve Novak, and which Steve Novak could contribute on the team. If he can come off the bench for 15 minutes and shoot some threes and make some threes, he contributes. It's not like a bad guy to have in your team. It's just not as ideal as you'd like, or not as good as you'd like right away.
Right, right.
I don't understand how Porzingis can't contribute. I just don't understand. Like, he's going to do something for the team this year. He's going to play at least 15 minutes a game and hopefully knock down some shots.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. People are really overreacting on this one.
Do you want to cut to Stephen A first?
Do you want to do Stephen A or Joey Nicknuts? We got a lot of interviews today.
Okay, Joey Nicknuts, actually. So you said, let's cut this to Joey Nicknuts.
All right. Back for the third time on the show is
AJ, Joey.
AJ,
I'm so excited to be here.
Joey Nicknuts.
Knicks. I am so excited. We had the draft. We're going to be so good. I am excited. I think Winslow is going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's good, but Winslow is not on the team.
Stop it!
He
don't you try to pull a fast one on me, Jay. We got Justice Winslow. He's going to start at the three. Mel's going to be at the four. We are going to be awesome next year. Phil's going to sign guys in the free agency. In Phil, I trust.
Joey,
go Knicks.
Joey. Winslow got drafted 10th. The Knicks picked fourth.
Well, we drafted fourth, so how could he have drafted? How could he have been drafted 10th? What are we talking about, Jay? Winslow, yeah.
Yeah, no Winslow. No Winslow.
Did I? Moutier! Go Moutier! Go! I have friends from the Congo. I love the Congo. He played. I love China or Japan or wherever he played. Yeah! Go Knicks!
No Moutier.
Cauley Stein! Yeah! We're going to get Cauley Stein. We got a center. We finally got a center. Yes, he's going to be as good as Patrick Ewing. We are going to the title this year.
It's weird that you're the world's biggest Knicks fan and you didn't watch the draft.
I
Did you just pass out from excitement?
All I remember, I'm trying to remember what happened. All I remember is I saw the first pick. I saw the second pick. I thought we might get Okafor. Philly took Okafor. Then they were announcing the Knicks pick. And the next thing I knew, I woke up on the bathroom floor. My head was bleeding. I had a bad headache. I don't know what happened. So I saw somewhere, I had written Winslow, and I got Winslow, a tattoo of Winslow on my arm. So I kind of just sketched it in with a knife. What?
We drafted Porzingis.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we didn't get Winslow. I'm glad we got Winslow.
Porzingis.
Stein? Cauley Stein? I'm glad we got Cauley Stein. I'm so happy we got Cauley Stein.
Kristaps Porzingis.
I'm sorry. The connection's really bad. I can't. Stanley Johnson. I'm fine with Stanley Johnson. It's a bit of a reach at the four, but I'm fine with that.
I think you're just ignoring the words that are coming out of my mouth.
Frank Kaminsky. Fine, we got Frank the Tank. I'll root for Frank the Tank. He's a good passer. He's good at the triangle. I gotta go, Jay. Bye. How'd the interview go, Jay?
I think Joey Nick Nuts killed himself. I don't know if he's gonna be back on the show.
Hi, this pick did. I am very, very excited about their draft pick, though. The one at 19.
Yeah, yeah. Horace Grant's nephew, Harvey Grant's son.
Yeah, I'm very excited. The guy's supposed to be pretty good. I remember watching Notre Dame. They look pretty good. Like, their offense looked really good, and the dude that was running the offense. I didn't pay attention as much to him, but I don't know. I remember watching Notre Dame, and they look pretty damn good.
You know, so far, I'm pretty excited about Phil.
In Phil we trust, I guess.
One draft pick into five.
He turned Timmy Hart one draft pick into five.
Yeah, didn't we have none last year and he got two?
Oh yeah, now we have three this year. So Tim Hardaway got turned into a first round pick.
That's
Tyson
hilarious.
Chandler got turned into garbage. Shumpert got turned into garbage. J.R. Smith got turned into garbage. We already was garbage. We got nothing for those guys, but Tim Hardaway was worth a first pick, round pick.
The NBA is really weird. I don't get how Hardaway's worth the first round and none of those other guys were.
I mean, maybe Atlanta will use him better and they can figure out, like, use him better and they're only letting him having him play offense. Or maybe they think they can teach defense to him. I just don't think Timmy Hardaway's he's good.
You know what? Their offense wasn't great, so maybe they just need a guy to jack up shots, and they don't realize that he misses most of those.
Well, I guess he's considered a guy that the thing is, we always want more from the players than they are. All Timmy Hardaway is a guy that can come off the bench for, like, 15 minutes a game, jack up some shots. If he's making them, he'll play longer and, like, get hot and stay on the court. But if he misses them, you pull him off the court. But he's a guy that can, like, just be hot or not. We're like, oh, Timmy Hardaway, You're kind of a borderline NBA player that gets hot sometimes. Can you do everything for us and be a starter?
Yeah, we do that a lot.
We're like, Shumpert, you're pretty good on defense, kind of limited on offense. Can you be the next great NBA player? We just ask too much from guys.
Yeah.
Steve Novak, you have one talent. Can you guard NBA centers also?
Yeah. That is the problem. We've been doing that since McDice.
Well, McDice, we actually thought he was going to be pretty good. I was shocked. I was like, they got they got McDyess. I was like, how amazing is that?
I didn't think it was a good move. Maybe I didn't understand basketball as much,
but I thought it was a great move at the time. I mean, obviously, it was not a great move.
Who did we trade for him?
Nene? I forget who else.
Yeah, I remember. I remember thinking, oh, that's kind of cool. But then I was like,
was that the same year we got Allen Houston? Am I thinking the same year?
No, I don't think that. I'm not sure.
Oh, whatever. Oh no, that's.
We're only a Knicks podcast.
Oh yeah. No, I'm. What else happened that summer though? Wasn't just like another big move. Houston obviously was before then. Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
I thought McDyess was a big move. Good move. I mean, obviously, it was not a good move. Here's what happens when we tell
New Stats Guy he's going to be on the show this week and then forget.
Did you even tell me we were recording tonight instead of tomorrow night?
No, I didn't really. Sorry, New Stats Guy, next week.
Sorry, tonight was much better for me than tomorrow night because tomorrow is my son's fourth birthday.
Yes, happy birthday to your son. We did a last-minute change. And
happy birthday to my son. We dicked over Stats Guy. Sorry. Hey, good question for you. Roy Hibbert. Hibbert's going to opt into his contract, or he already has. And the Pacers don't want to pay him $15 million. He's a rim protector. They want to get rid of his $15 million. We could probably get him for very little. Would you do it? You get him on a one-year deal. If he ends up, like, you can turn him around and make him good. You can always obviously extend him or try to re-sign him, but
I don't want anything to do with Hibbert.
I don't think it'd be a bad move. We need defense.
You realize Hibbert's not good.
He's a good defender, though.
Great.
He protects the rim. We have no one else that protects the rim. Is Porzingis going to protect the rim?
I feel like Hibbert
is. You know, when Porzingis stands sideways, he's invisible.
Do you know Porzingis has to run around the shower to get wet?
You don't think Hibbert would be not a bad guy to have on the team? I mean, like, obviously you'd be overpaying him, but like he's off the cap the following year.
I think he's going to be a complete. I think he's going to start getting injury prone.
Who are we going to get? Are we going to get the? I know we're bringing in DeAndre Jordan for like a workout, but come on. He's not going to sign with us.
No, he's not coming here.
So who are we going to get as our center? I mean, we get like Robin Lopez, which I actually wouldn't mind.
Yeah, Robin Lopez would be fine.
He's not really an NBA caliber like starting center. We're not. If we bring back Cole, I'll be upset. Or Cole could be our backup. I don't know. Cole's not a. If Barks is our starting center, I'll lose my mind.
I don't think Barks is going to be on this team.
He better not be on this team. Could we have like trade? Like as part of the like, drafting Porzingis, we send Barks to play for Latvia.
Barks has got to. He's got to be on there.
So let's move forward. Stephen A. He had some comments. And I think we should talk about him.
Yeah, let's do that. All right, Stephen A. Smith, first time on the show. Thanks for joining us. Wait, we have actual audio of that, right?
Yes. You do have audio of this, Jay.
No, I don't. Can you send that to me? That's the one. I knew I forgot something.
Oh, my God. I guess you're not kidding.
No, this isn't a bit. I forgot what this segment was.
Oh, you got the other part?
Yeah, I got the other part.
Okay, hang on.
This is riveting. This is the part that normal podcasts would cut out of the show, but we leave.
You're not going to cut this out.
I leave it in just for you listeners. This is how much.
This is like the level of incompetence. Jay knows how to do everything. I don't know how to do anything, so it's This is like actually, this is as competent as we get.
I knew everything was running a little too smoothly.
Too smoothly.
Okay. You sent it. Good. All right.
Okay, Stephen A. It's like you weren't. It's like you're really not actually on the show.
Right. No, we're just playing a Stephen A. Interview. So.
No, we're not. We're doing an interview with him. Okay. Don't lie to everyone.
Stephen A. Smith joins us now. Stephen A. Smith.
It doesn't even sound like you, Jack.
To explain to me what in the good name of Frederick Weiss Phil Jackson did tonight.
Well, first of all, it beats me. Let me be very, very clear. I'm very confused at this pick simply because when I think about Phil Jackson, he made promises that he's simply not keeping.
And if I seem
a bit agitated, yes, it would happen to be
because
I'm on
Carmelo?
Vacation and I came off vacation just to talk about this subject.
Pause this.
I'm completely
Steve, what are you doing to Carmelo right now? I know Carmelo's in the room with you. What are you? Go on.
Look at this kid, Porzingis. Let me be very, very clear about this kid, Porzingis, okay?
How are you talking and doing that at the
he
same time?
He knows how to spread the floor. He's 7'1". He's
220. That's disgusting, Stephen. Do not do that to Carmelo while you're talking to him.
He can shoot from the perimeter. He's got tremendous...
Yeah, Stephen A. can multitask.
I can't believe he can do that to Carmelo and talk.
That is amazing. This is a talented, talented guy.
If I'm getting $100 million I'm getting $25 million a year, you know what I don't do? Talk badly about my employer or disagree openly with what his moves. I don't care if you think Porzingis is the next Hitler, you don't announce that through Stephen A. Smith to the public.
Right. Also, you don't make it awkward for everyone on your team for the coming year.
You know what you do, actually? You give them a call. Yeah. Neither of these guys got a call. Him and Grant, neither of them got calls in the first day. Since we only have one other guy on the team, that's Carmelo, Melo should immediately call these guys and go, "Welcome to the team. I'm so excited to have you on this team. It's not like I wanted Winslow or anyone else. I'm glad to have you, poor Zung, whatever." At least make it sound semi-not sarcastic.
Yeah, seriously.
He's getting $25 million a year and he can't pretend to like... You could break things. You could just get as angry as you want in private, but in public, and not even in public, don't do the most weaselly thing possible and go, "Stephen A., I don't want you to tell anyone about this, but I think Porzingis is an asshole."
I'm so done with Melo. This is a guy who, instead of signing as a free agent, demanded a trade, gutting the team, and then took a max contract, and now he's bitching that the Knicks aren't in a better win-now position.
Yeah.
Really?
Maybe we're not in a better wins now position because you took half of last season off with an injury. Maybe that's why we're not in a better role.
Or maybe because you decided to take a salary that is 40% of our entire salary cap.
Or maybe because every time you're on the court, you take 50% of the time off not playing defense.
Any one of those things.
Every other player in the NBA who's considered a great player in the NBA plays defense. You should try it sometimes. Maybe you should give back half the money. Be like, "You know, I only deserve 12.5 because, you know, the other 12.5, I don't really earn." I mean, just pretend to be happy about Porzingis. It's not like if you complain about it, Phil's going to be like, "I'll go back in my time machine and make this better." You don't have the right. LeBron James has the right to be to pretend to be GM of Cleveland or force them to make moves because LeBron's the one that is probably the best player in the NBA. He is the best player in the NBA. Melo, you may not even be top 10. Get better before you're going to start demanding things.
I'm so mad at Melo. I can't believe he's pulling this crap already.
I mean, this is absurd. You want to... I don't care what Phil told you. Phil once said... Phil said you're going to come here and we're going to win. He didn't say how we're... There's no way we're going to win it next year anyhow. It's going to be a few years before we actually have a shot of really winning. So maybe Phil thinks this guy Porzingis is going to contribute faster than you think.
Yeah, I hope this causes a big rift and they're like forced to trade Melo, and then we could do a rebuild the right way.
I don't think. Do you think we can trade him right now? Who's taking him?
L.A.
I don't think so. The problem is, if not for the injury, I think you could trade him. But with the injury, who's going to take him? Not that kind of money coming off a major injury.
What if they think he's healthy and Kobe's like, "I'm not spending the last year of my career on a terrible team. I want a super team. So get LaMarcus Aldridge and Melo here."
Yeah.
Or DeAndre Jordan and Melo.
What if they say, "Hey, Kobe, you're angry. What's new?" He's always upset. Do you hear about it? By the way, they drafted, I think it's like Larry Nance Jr., who called Kobe a rapist a couple years ago.
Yeah. Now he's on the Lakers. Oops.
It's always awkward when you have to play with that alleged rapist that you called out. I just... Is this part of your brand, Carmelo? This is your brand? Asshole by Melo. Bad teammate by Melo.
Whiny little bitch Mellow.
I put the I in me in team. Okay, so I also the Stephen A thing. He's like complaining. He totally they're supposed to be win now. Listen, maybe win now is not going to happen. Maybe they're going to think a little more long term. Deal with it.
Yeah, God forbid this team actually builds like a real actual team for once.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a bust when Porzingis sucks, but like at least like you're trying.
Yeah, I mean, we tried the win now for the last 15 years, or have you not been watching that?
I just still think, I think of the players, I think Winslow and Cauley Stein will be better NBA players than Porzingis. And that's why we'll be, that's why I'm annoyed about this. It's not the, I don't mind that if the Porzingis is going to take 3 years to realize his potential as a super bust.
Well, we'll find out.
At least we never have to talk about Frederick Weiss anymore because we'll have Porzingis.
Let's see what else we got. Go to thenewyorkknickspodcast.com. Ian is still writing articles like a madman, so he put one up today. There's a lot of content on the site from the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So check that out. And let's see. Mark is moving soon, which means he'll have a better internet connection so we could start doing live shows.
Yes, I will be moving at the end of July to the suburbs. I will still be able to do the show. Maybe once in a blue moon, I'll actually come to Jay's place and do it in person. But I will still be able to do the show, and the internet will be a lot better on my end. So the shows will sound better.
And yeah, so because we tried to do live shows before, and we couldn't have, we couldn't really do it because Mark's internet is basically enough just for audio Skype.
Some reason or other, I'm in Manhattan, and some reason Manhattan, the internet sucks here.
Right. So what we're going to try and do is get Ustream Pro so we can both be on webcam at once. You need the Pro version to have two cams from two separate places.
Yes.
The problem is it's $279.
Why don't you do a Kickstarter, Jay?
If you were thinking about buying a Knicks podcast shirt, now would be a good time. Because we need $280 to get Ustream Pro.
There's no way people are going to give us $280 to get this, Jay.
Well, there's a donate button, and there's a there's a two large boxes of shirts in my room. So there you go.
If you're thinking about contributing a dollar, just try to round up 279 more contributions like your own, and it'll work out.
We have way more than 279 listeners. So
hang on, if you contribute. How much I actually was thinking about we should make a movie and raise the money through making this movie.
So spend a couple million on a movie?
It's the unauthorized sequel to The Sixth Sense. Instead of seeing dead people, Jay will see a European bus drafted by the Knicks ahead of time. I see it. I see it. He could shoot the three and he will make all Knicks fans angry. I can see his name is Porzingis. Did you see the guy from the second round also ahead of time?
No, I definitely didn't see that one coming.
Oh, maybe he'll be good then. but yeah, so if you want us to do live, what are we going to be doing?
What are we doing?
No, what is the so we get this and what can we do? $280 and we can do what?
Oh, well, we can do a live show where we have two video cameras in one screen. So you can see you from your apartment and me from my apartment.
I think people will give us $208 so they don't have to look at us.
Well, I mean, because people were saying when we tried to do a live show before, it's just me and it's really weird. Because when you're talking, it's just looking at me, like not saying anything. And it's really
creepy.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy. So
Mark, keep talking a little longer. I like when Jay doesn't talk. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, so if you like looking at our faces or want to look at our faces more.
Or if you just want us to start doing live shows.
Yes, we'll start doing more live shows. You can call in, interact with us more on the air. You not just submit a Facebook question, but you could interact with us live in the show.
Oh yeah, I didn't even mention that. That's the other option. Anybody else with a Skype webcam can also get in on that and join the conversation.
So you could look at the people calling.
Right. Okay, so let's move on.
I feel like at some point we'll have to give over. They're like, the police will be like, we need episode 337. One of your callers is a what we call a suspect. Okay, so we have a lot of questions. Why don't we go to our questions before the show goes forever?
All right, let's start with Twitter at NYKnicksPodcast. Kayor writes,
oh, leave us a review in iTunes. We have not been getting those lately, and we're unhappy. We need more.
When we were getting them, we went into the top 20 in sports podcasts, but now yes. We slip back down.
We're like the Walking Dead, and the reviews are our brains. We need to eat. Go on.
Kayor writes, who starts for us? Who starts as point guard for us? Shved, Calderon, or Grant? Also, is Jerian Grant related to Alan Grant from Jurassic Park?
Well, I don't think Shved was going to be our point guard.
Right. I think he's going to be a shooting guard.
Yeah, he seems like a more shooting guard.
I kind of was hoping off the bench. Calderon, Grant, or Galloway?
Yeah. I say Calderon probably starts.
It's still Calderon until he gets injured.
Or just still he sucks. I see the chance Galloway taking his spot not that far. Or actually Grant taking his spot not that far. I guess we'll see how they are. I like Galloway. I like having one guard that plays defense out there.
Yeah.
So whether you put Grant and Galloway out there or I don't know. But yeah, I see Grant having a pretty good chance of becoming a starter pretty fast if he plays well.
They might even do a Calderon-Grant lineup for a while.
Yeah, I can see that too. There's so many combinations of mediocre players you can put out there.
Trent wants us to talk about the little boy during draft night. Did you see that? He was taking a selfie while pretending to cry.
No, I didn't see this.
Yeah, it was. It went viral. It was funny, but like, I don't think an 8-year-old really knows what the hell's going on with the draft.
I feel like when things go viral, I don't know about them. Like, yeah, things go viral, they're like, have you seen this video? Like, 300 million people have seen it. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm really behind on like all this stuff.
All social media, I don't even know when this stuff's going to happen. And like, there are things people talk about. Oh yeah, yeah, that was huge last year. And I'm like, what? This is my first time I've ever seen it.
Oh, I asked this on Facebook and Twitter, but JR let his contract expire, so he's now a free agent. So my question was, do you think that's a calculated move, or was he just baked and forgot?
Oh, I thought he opted in. He didn't opt. He opted out.
He didn't do anything, which automatically made it opt out.
Oh well. It's probably high. Do you think there's a chance he's on Cleveland next year?
I do, but I think he thinks he's going to get a huge raise, and I think nobody's going to offer him anything, and Cleveland's like, ha-ha, now we're paying you $5 million.
Or maybe he just says, like, this, I'll get a long-term deal for more money overall.
That's what he thinks, but I don't think that's going to be what happens.
I think LeBron just talks to people and goes, you're not going to opt in. Well, no, LeBron, I think you're not going to opt in. Here's what you're going to do. We're going to pay you $4 million a year for 3 years. This is what you're going to find, LeBron. I think LeBron just tells him what to do. I think that's what he does. He just tells his teammates. He's like, Wade, you're going to get screwed. Okay.
Greg messaged Porzingis and said, how about granting the Knicks podcast an exclusive interview? They're down on you since day one.
No, Jay's up on you.
Yeah, I think...
Oh, does he mean down on you in a good way?
I think so, but I don't think Porzingis is going to take it that way. I think he's going to think that we were not excited about him since day one.
Oh, you know what? Actually, the difference is that we asked for an interview, and so did the New York Times. So he might go to New York Times instead.
No, I'm going to blame it all on Greg's.
Greg, way to screw this up for us.
He also writes... Mark, what were your hopes? Were your hopes also up for 5 minutes that we could possibly get Okafor?
Yes and no. Well, I have very mixed emotions about Okafor. I think he's going to be a great offensive player. At the same time, I think his defense is going to be pretty lackluster at best, and I don't see how he plays very well with Melo. Mm-hmm. So, but I kind of thought we were getting Okafor. I was really shocked that Philly took him because I don't know what the hell Philly's doing.
Nobody does.
I mean, isn't there I guess there must not be Philly fans left because no one's acting outraged in Philly.
He also writes, when second overall pick was announced and you were Okafor, how would you feel? Because that meant you knew you
were going
to Philly,
that's,
not
that's
got
to be an awful feeling.
Yeah. I mean, you think you're a lock to go to L.A.
So that's like, that's quite the booby prize.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's got to suck. You're like, you go from like stardom to like Philly's like Frankenstein project they're building there.
Yeah. Yeah, that, probably huge, huge disappointment.
Oh, man. I guess the first thing you your first thought in your head is, let's see, 1,258 days to free agency.
Steven writes, could we get a new Brink of Sanity this weekend? Sorry, Steven, that'll be next weekend. For those of you who don't know, our comedy podcast is The Brink of Sanity. That's on iTunes as well.
Yes, there's been a lot going on in Nick's world. Plus, with my son's birthday coming up, it's kind of hard to fit that one in.
Right. Okay. To emails, nynickspodcast@gmail.com. Let's see. Lorenzo writes, sorry for the length of this email, but I think there are some good ideas here. Hashtag humblebrag. Idea number one, is there any way we can contribute to the show like a donation? I swear that I did not write this. I think the Bill Burr podcast does something like this. I can't afford a t-shirt at the moment, but I can throw $5 or $10 your way. There is a donate link on the front page of the NewYorkKnicksPodcast.com. It's a PayPal link, so basically it would be like buying a shirt. Same process, you just only put in $5 instead of $8.
So if everyone contributes a dollar, we need 280 donations. But if everyone contributes $2, we only need 140 donations.
Right.
It keeps working out well the higher the numbers go.
Exactly. Let's see. Idea number two. To demonstrate how unlucky the Knicks are, I thought you could do a mock draft lottery at the start of each show to see how many drafts it would take before we get the number one pick. Just get a hold of 14 ping pong balls from your props department. You guys do have a props department, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Number them 1 to 14, and then draw out 4 balls, recording the number of each. You would need to get a hold of the 1,001 combinations online somewhere and match the number sequence up to see who won that pick. It really wouldn't take that long.
We'll start the next show.
Yeah, the next episode. But then I thought, why not combine the two above ideas into the New York Knicks podcast super t-shirt draft giveaway. So this is gather 14 listeners willing to participate to represent each of the 14 lottery teams from this year's draft. Each listener needs to pledge an amount of $5 or over, and the highest overall pledge gets the equivalent of the worst record in the league with the most chances to win. Conduct the draft, same as the actual draft. Draw 4 balls, 1 by 1, out of the container until you have a 4-number combination. Match that number with the list, and the combination, and the lucky winner gets a t-shirt. I think that's a pretty fun idea.
Yeah, if you want to do it.
I can handle that if 14 people want to email nynickspodcast@gmail.com and say they want to be part of that lottery, then we could do that.
Okay. If we get 14 emails saying people want to be part of this, then let's do it.
That does sound like a fun idea, though. Okay. So the next email is from John. He writes, let me vent a little. A couple of years ago, nobody understood the triangle offense, and Phil Jackson was a genius for winning 11 NBA titles with it. Now every media member is a triangle expert, and Phil Jackson all of a sudden doesn't know basketball. All of a sudden, the triangle offense doesn't work and is outdated. When Boston won in 06, it was defense-first teams that win championships. When Miami won, it was super teams. That was the new formula. While everyone was trying to build a super team, the Spurs spanked the Heat with passing and fundamentals, and that was the formula. Now with Golden State, small ball, and three-point shooting. Listen, it's players, coaching, executives, and luck. I'm tired of the media telling me what, who works in the triangle and who doesn't. Oh, you need a three-point point guard for the triangle? I saw Ron Harper win 4 chips at point guard in the triangle. Oh, you need a big man for the triangle? I saw the Bulls win 6 chips with a mediocre big man. Truth is, there's no set formula or roster for the triangle because it's so versatile. You just need good players. Lastly, I'm tired of hearing how it doesn't work. Phil ran the triangle when Jordan retired. It got the Bulls to the conference semis. No championship that year because no Jordan, not because of the triangle. It works in every generation because at the end of the day, it's basketball. You need good players to win. Let Phil do his job. He says, "Woo, I feel better now."
Okay, get us good players and it'll work out.
I tend to agree. I mean,
no, everything you said made perfect sense.
Yeah, yeah. Bruno just wrote, "No." That must have been right after the draft. Kazim writes, "So with the fourth, we picked Bargs 2.0. Seriously, with Moody on board and Winslow and Stein and a shitload of other people, Bargs 2.0. WTF, and now history is going to repeat itself once again, and 5 years from now, everybody else is going to be an all-star, while we're still going to be sitting here with Barks 2.0 going, damn it. I just wanted to add more fuel to the fire just in case Mark wasn't angry enough after seeing what Phil picked, and this podcast wasn't angry enough. Oh, and I also saw that David West wants to come to the Knicks and left $12 million on the table from Indiana. Knicks are going to overpay him a shitload, and he's 34. I'm so mad right now. Ugh. I was supposed to go see Ted 2, but the Knicks effed up my night. Anyways, how are you guys feeling about this abomination of a draft night and just mindfuckery? Please do share your thoughts and don't hold anything back. Sorry about the angry email."
Yeah. I hate the fact that people are like, "Oh, how could you compare this guy to Bargs?" It's the exact same scouting report. I understand they're not the exact same person and they're from different countries, but it's the exact same scouting report. It's the exact same amount of hype.
It is a very, very similar scattering report.
And we already have Bargs, and it's not working out very well. I like the draft overall. I like the fact that, like, I mean, like, I guess it could be a home run pick. It won't be, but and I like the fact that we got a 19 and got the 35 pick. So at least that makes that, if they didn't get the other two picks, or at least they didn't get the guy at 19, I think people would have set fire to Madison Square Garden.
Peter writes, "I was wondering what you think of Jerian Grant. I watched a few Notre Dame games this year, and he looks like a real talent. And if we're being honest, he can't be much more worse than Hardaway. Considering exactly what we gave up for him, I really like the move. What do you think?"
Yeah, I think he's better than Hardaway. There you go. It's an improvement.
Yeah, it was definitely an upgrade.
I don't know if he's going to really be a starter right away. He's not going to be a starter right away. I don't know if he's going to be a starter, but he's going to contribute. He has a better chance of contributing than Hardaway does. What do you think of David West, getting David West?
I've always been a David West fan. I like it. I mean, I wouldn't mind having him on the team. I hope we don't overpay him, but I definitely would not mind having him on the team.
I know he's old, 34. I think it's funny that we were complaining at how old Knicks were getting, but the Knicks won 54 games. Then we started getting younger, and we started losing again.
Right.
And then we started losing. We were like, "Where's all the old guys? We want the old guys back." I think West is a solid player. He plays defense. I get there's a problem as far as what the starting lineup's going to look like, but I wouldn't mind getting him. Yeah. I like him better than Greg Monroe, even though Greg Monroe's 25.
Yeah, exactly.
You could put West at the power forward, and, well, I guess I kind of want Melo to play power, whatever. I mean, I guess in the triangle, no one has the position anyhow.
Yeah, that's true.
So, whatever.
Frankie sent us a list of free agents coming up.
Okay.
Do you want to go through them real quick?
Sure.
LeBron, we're not getting. We can move on.
Yeah, he's going to opt out.
Kawhi Leonard, we're not getting. Marcus Gasol.
We're not getting.
I would think, I like the moves that Memphis has been making. It seems like
we're not getting Marcus Gasol. Why are we been humoring this?
LaMarcus Aldridge, not getting, right?
We're not getting. I don't think Aldridge makes much sense anyhow.
No, it doesn't. Kevin Love. This is the first one I could see us actually getting.
We're not getting Kevin Love, and I don't think he makes... We're not getting Kevin Love either.
I don't think
And I don't want Kevin Love. His defense was... LeBron couldn't even get him to play defense. So what are we going
to
do?
Remember when he tried to cover Tyson Chandler, who averaged like 10 points a game, and he scored about 28 points? And they asked him what happened after the game, and he said Kevin Love can't cover anybody?
Yeah. This is ridiculous. Kevin Love I do not want on this team.
Draymond Green's restricted. There's no way Golden State lets him go, right?
Probably not. So they, if someone maxes him, which someone will, Golden State's going to match that, and they're going to have three max players. They're going to have going with Curry. They're eventually going to have Curry. Whatever his contract's up, they're going to have to max him. You're going to have to max Klay Thompson.
They're basically going to give Draymond Green David Lee's money.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. But how do you do it this year? Can they max him this year?
I think they're frantically trying to dump Lee. Actually, they announced that they are.
I get that. Someone should take David Leigh. Especially, you'd have a one-year deal, right?
Yeah, one-year deal, and I guarantee they'll throw in a first-rounder just to take Leigh's contract.
Yeah, that's probably true.
We should do that because we don't have a first-rounder next year.
So someone should max Draymond Green just to screw with Golden State's salary cap. Because you know they're going to try to bring him back and they're going to match whatever it is. You might as well just max him and make it harder for Golden State to compete.
Yeah, same with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, so I would max both those guys. A, if you get them, great, you're overpaying them a little bit, but whatever. B, if the other team matches, screw them.
DeAndre Jordan, he's not coming, right?
Would you max him? No, everyone has to get a max contract.
I wouldn't max him. Somebody's going to.
I don't think he's worth maxing. But he's not going to. He has to be crazy. He has to be crazy to leave the Clippers, and the Clippers have to be crazy to let him go.
Brooke Lopez.
Oh, my God, no.
If he's unrestricted, but he's a player option for 16.7. If he turns
I think he's already turned it down.
Really?
Yeah, or they announced he's turning it down. He's opting out.
He's
yeah.
a madman.
Oh, my God. Well, no, because he thinks he's getting more money. He played, he played like 70 games last year. Like, no joke, he was healthy most of the year.
Wow.
I didn't realize that. And the year before, he played like 10 games. So you might as well try to get your max money now instead of when next year when you're coming off playing 5 games.
Yep. Tim Duncan staying with the Spurs. Wade, I could see.
You don't think we have a shot at Tim Duncan? Really?
I'm amazed how good he was last year at 39.
Yeah.
Wade, I bet he goes to Cleveland.
Jay would actually commit suicide.
Yeah, I bet he goes to Cleveland.
He might go to Lakers.
Yeah. Let's see. Brandon Knight.
Yeah, you're right. He's going to probably go to Cleveland. He's going to be like LeBron, thank you. Miami sucks. I hate living in Miami. This is much better living in Cleveland, asshole.
Yeah.
Brandon Knight.
He's restricted, and considering they're trying to move Bledsoe, I'm assuming they're going to match.
Yeah, I assume they're going to match. And I wouldn't give him a max contract anyhow, but he's a good player.
Dragic, I heard Miami's going to offer him a max.
Everyone's getting a max. You're getting a max. I'm getting a max. Everyone's getting a max.
Danny Green.
I would like to get him.
Yeah, I don't see the Spurs giving him up.
Well, they might have to if they're going to get Aldridge.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'd give him money.
Yeah, let's go for Danny Green.
Who else?
Hibbert.
No, said that he's max. He's signed it. You can get him on a one-year deal, basically.
He has a player option for 15, so if
he's opting in. He's opting in. He said he's taking the money.
Okay.
And basically, Pacers said, opt out, and Hibbert said, hey, bitches, you're going to have to pay me. Figure it out. We don't want you here. It's too fucking bad.
Yeah, he's already 28. I don't know.
I wouldn't mind him. I feel like... I don't know. We need a rim protector. I don't see us getting anyone better than him.
Greg Monroe.
No.
No. Tristan Thompson.
So people are saying he might get a max contract.
That would be hilarious.
That seems insane.
Yeah.
He hasn't done that much. I mean, he looks like a pretty talented player. But come on.
That would be hilarious. Mozgov, there's a team option for 5. There's no way they don't take.
Oh, yeah. There's no way.
Paul Millsap.
I would like, that would be someone I'd really like.
Yes. Although he is 30, but I would still take him.
I would take him in a heartbeat.
Chris Middleton.
I would consider it a very successful offseason if we get Millsap. Middleton, I'd like. He's pretty, he can guard. He's good on defense.
Yeah. Let's see, Robin Lopez.
Yeah, he'd be a nice center to get.
Here's a guy I want, DeMar Carroll.
How long is this list? Is it every free agent like possible?
Yeah, we gotta move on. It goes. I just
like why are you like we're spending too much time on this. Is there anyone else worth mentioning on this list? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of other players, but it's like is there 80 guys? We don't discuss all 80 guys.
There's 179.
Okay. I know you're joking at this point, but
no, I'm not.
Why were you even going through this list then?
Because I did not know it was 179.
Oh, you couldn't count. You look at a list of 179 players, and you're like, I don't know, is that 5 players?
I didn't.
Your ability to like do math right away is really bad.
How much prep do you want me to do for these shows while you dick around and just come on and be like, Jay, the show's ready, right?
I don't understand. Like, is it like a Are you doing like, are you doing clicking over? Like, are you on a, are you on Bleacher Report? We have to click to the next guy.
Jay, here's a list of stuff I want you, for you to show. Also, pre-screen all the emails and do research on everything.
I did give Jay a list of things for the show today.
Andrew writes, Jay, I'll save you the time and not ask a question about the Knicks that 100 other people probably ask, but rather this. I am getting married in 2 months in Port Jefferson, Long Island. I noticed that you are from
I'm moving to Port Washington.
There you go. I noticed that you are from Port Jefferson. I don't know.
Are you from Port Jefferson?
I grew up in Port Jefferson.
Ah.
I don't know how he noticed that. And was wondering.
I noticed that when I looked through your tax information.
I was wondering, what are some fun activities to do around town the night before the wedding with our guests? I hope you read this on the show. She gets annoyed when I listen to your podcast and talk about the Knicks all day instead of talking to her. If you read this, she will think I am the best future husband in the world. Was I not supposed to read that last part? Fun things to do in Port Jeff.
How long a train ride is Port Jefferson?
I usually take the Ronkonkoma line, which is like an hour and 10 minutes, and then drive the rest of the way, which is like a 20-minute ride. Because if you take the Port Jefferson line, it's like it's almost a two-hour train ride.
Jesus.
Yeah, it goes. It's like this really old train that goes super slow.
Oh. Port Washington's like a 35-minute express train.
Yeah.
That's a lot closer.
There is not a whole lot to do in Port Jeff.
There is the local Cineplex where you could see Jurassic Park.
There's a place in Port Jeff called Tara's, and the burgers are a dollar, and they're good burgers. And then there's a couple bars down there. You can go to...
Jay, will you meet them down, entertain them for the weekend? Show them around? Why don't you show them around?
In 2 months? If I'm around, maybe I'll make an appearance.
Remind him, and he'll be there.
There's a place called the Graceful Rose, which has good food. There is a bar called Tommy's, which is all right. And that's pretty much about it. There's not a lot down there. You can take the ferry back and forth to Bridgeport.
That's exciting, because Bridgeport has...
a lot of crime. So that's why I go right back to Port Jeff. Just turn right back around.
It looks really nice. Here's my jewelry. I'll see you guys later.
All right, Lorenzo writes, I think I have... Porzingitis. Porzingitis, noun, a disease caused by the anticipation of how well a tall, skinny white man will be able to throw an orange sphere through a hoop, characterized by crying, cursing, and throwing items at the TV. Porzingitis. He also writes, you know those weirdos who have dreams and then proceed to interpret what they mean? Well, it's your lucky day, as I will proceed to do the same thing with three events that occurred to me around the NBA draft, only I will interpret what they mean for the upcoming season. Event one, the draft was on Friday Australian time. I thought it was on Thursday Australian time, so I ended up wearing my lucky Knicks socks to work on Thursday for no reason. Interpretation, the Knicks will reach the Eastern Conference Finals. Not unrealistic, giving the crappy East where they will face the Cavs. The Cavs will actually mix up the dates of the games, so the Knicks will win the series by default. You wrote probability 5%. Event two. I got laid on draft day for the first time in about 6 months. The drought was mostly baby-related. I'm sure Mark can relate. The Knicks will trade for Glenn Davis, who will then proceed to miss game-winning buzzer beaters for the next 20 games of the season, giving the Knicks their own baby-related 0-20 drought. But then things will turn around, and the Knicks will metaphorically F everyone in their path, finishing the season 62-20. Probability 5%. And
okay.
Event three. The draft began 9:30 a.m. Australian time. I stupidly scheduled an auditor to come sit with me at my desk at 10 a.m. right as the Knicks were making their pick, so I missed the next hour of the draft, which I was following on Twitter. P.S. Hope my boss doesn't hear this. Interpretation. The NBA will be audited. More specifically, every draft since 1984 will be revealed that every number one pick should have gone to New York. Will be awarded the number one pick automatically for the next 20 years. Probability 15%.
You guys more right. Likely they'll review it and they'll award Patrick Ewing to some other team. And we'll lose all those victories.
All right, that is it for emails.
Do you want to go to the Facebook questions, or do you want to talk about your school project? Or do we have time for that?
We could do the school project real quick because we are an hour into the show already.
Oh, okay.
So I have to do a 8-minute solo presentation. I get really nervous during presentations, and I don't like it.
Jay has what they call anxiety. If you listen to Break of Sanity, you know that Jay's got problems.
I'm a goddamn mess. So what the assignment is I have to do a speech on a leader and talk about their leadership skills. So my idea to make myself less nervous was to do a funny presentation, and I wanted to make the leader James Dolan and then basically do a really sarcastic presentation where I'm just talking about Dolan's leadership skills, but
so give us an example. I want to try to help Jay with his presentation.
So my idea was I would talk about thinking outside the box. And so for thinking outside the box, I would say most NBA owners would build through the draft and not make intelligent free agent signings, blah, blah, blah. But James Dolan thinks outside the box. So what he did is he started a band, paid the Eagles to open for them, and then wrote a song called Fix the Knicks. So he thinks outside the box.
Most owners will try to fill the seats in the arena by winning games. James Dolan thinks outside behind the box and says, all we need is big name players, and doesn't matter if we actually win games.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's good too.
Okay, what's the next leadership skill we have to address?
Let's see. There's riding dead horses, holding on to conventional wisdom.
Let's do one at a time. Riding dead horses.
Which is holding on to conventional wisdom.
Conventional wisdom says that this bit would have been funnier, but it's not that funny.
funny.
Let's see. Despite the fact that it's obvious to everyone who's ever watched basketball that Melo should play at the four, James Dolan says, let's leave him at the three and see what happens.
Because Melo said it's easier for him.
Yes. Or despite the fact that people say you need to build through the draft, that's conventional wisdom. We have to say what James Dolan does that's not conventional, or that he sticks to conventional. He beats a dead horse.
He rides dead horses. Yeah.
That's basically. So he basically allowed Amari to play on his contract.
Right.
Wasn't that a dead horse?
Yeah. Conventional wisdom would say having your two highest paid players should play the different positions.
James Dolan says it doesn't matter if they play the same position as long as they both have averaged 20 points a game independently.
That would be a good one for challenging assumptions.
challenging assumptions. The assumption would be that to win, you need to draft really well. James Dolan says, to win, you need to make sure you give your draft picks away.
All of them, yes.
All of them. I don't know how well this is going to work out for you, Jack.
I don't know.
Go on, what's the next one?
It's provoking conflict as a leadership competency.
Okay, this is a good one. So most people would say, if one of the executives in an organization had been involved in a major sexual harassment dispute, say, or mm-hmm. case, they would then hire that person to run the female portion of their organization.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I mean, I know Isaiah may not have the best history with women, but now he's in charge of them. Let's see how that goes.
Let's see. Raising questions. It also includes breaking the ice. I don't know about that one.
Breaking the ice?
Okay. This bit's getting so I'm going to have to put more thought.
Okay, let's go to Facebook questions. Yeah. I don't know. You might want to think about this before you do it in class. Tuka writes, what do you think about Westchester Knicks? Can we find good players from their roster for next season? Let's look at our roster for a second. So what's our roster going to look like next year? You have Melo, obviously. You have Calderon. That's two players. You got Porzingis. We got Grant. So we got four guys. You got Galloway under contract. That's five. We're assuming we're going to get Chavez going to come back. That's six.
And early.
That's seven. Do you think we're going to have Tontica knock on the team?
Yeah.
Okay, that's eight players. Plus, you got to assume we're bringing at least two guys through free agency or three guys through free agency.
Well, we're going to have to. We're only up to eight.
So that's 11 guys.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say, since you have to have 13 guys, we're going to have five guys from free agency.
Well, do you think who else is coming back?
Maybe Amundsen?
Maybe. Larkin, probably not coming back.
They seem like they staled on Cole Aldridge. I hope
he couldn't get playing time on a team that like was horrendous.
Yeah, I hope they don't want Barks back.
I hope they. Oh, it sounds like they wanted Jason Smith back, but now they got Porzingis. You would kind of think they wouldn't need Jason Smith back.
I don't know.
Not that they do the same thing, but I would think you would just give Porzingis Jason Smith's minutes. Smith doesn't do a lot.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. So, yeah, that we needed like five guys. So we could take like two or three from
Chavez better come back.
Yeah, he better come back.
So, anyhow, from Westchester, to answer your question, that hopefully we'll find a player or two from Westchester because we need them.
Yeah.
So, we're going to have that guy in Paris from last year and this other guy in Europe from this year. We got some assets abroad.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they're coming here or anything, but like for the future.
All right,
by the way, I don't think we mentioned last show, but we saw an article saying that apparently, what's his name, the center, the guy on the Cleveland, what's it?
Mozgov?
Mozgov, yeah. Apparently, Mozgov was a necessary part of the Carmelo deal. The Denver was not going to do the trade unless Mozgov was included.
Right. Yeah, I read that as well. That was interesting. I did not realize they were pushing that hard for him.
We had always assumed it was kind of like, okay, we'll give you Mozgov. It was just like we were throwing him in and we didn't even care. Mm-hmm. But apparently they were pushing for him and maybe we didn't want to put him in at first. We still could have just signed him through free agency, but apparently it was a bigger part of the deal than we realized.
That makes me feel a little better, but not much because I still hate that trade.
Yeah. But yeah, hopefully we can find one guy from Westchester. That'd be nice. I mean, look at last year. We found Galloway, who seems like a pretty decent player.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can build up another good roster there. Grant writes, this question's for Jay. Since you wanted Porzingis and he was chosen by the Knicks in the draft, do you consider yourself psychic? And can you use your psychic powers to help the Knicks?
Hmm.
Hasn't Jay already helped the Knicks by getting them to draft Porzingis?
Yeah, I think I'm putting my powers to good use.
Greg posts George Karl's all snake team. And it has DeMarcus Cousins, J.R. Smith, Ty Lawson, Iguodala, and Carmelo.
You know what that's in reference to, right?
No, what is that in reference to?
A bunch of those players have referenced snakes in regards to George Karl over the years.
Why? I mean, I guess they don't think very highly of him.
Right, like George Karl will either sour on a player or try and get that player traded. I think Iguodala said something like, when the grass is mowed, the snakes will show or something like that. And I forget.
Or no, Melo said that one. And Iguodala said when the grass... Oh, they both said the same thing, basically.
Right. And then Cousins just tweeted pictures of grass and snakes.
And Ty Lawson said too many snakes. Is there a chance he's going to keep his job, Karl?
A very small chance. I think if they can't find a monster deal to trade Cousins, they have to fire Karl.
You can't draft a... I just think it sounds like it'd be a bad idea. It just... don't trade him. If you're Sack, like you suck for a while. This is your best chance. Cousins is getting Cousins is coming to his own, and you just got Pauly Stein, which should be a really nice pairing.
I wouldn't trade him, but Sacramento is so unpredictable.
I don't know. Who else have they got on that roster? That's good.
Do you want to say Rudy Gay is good?
Not really, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess it's Rudy Gay. I mean, I think Cole Stein's a huge addition. I think they're one of the I think they got one of the better deals in the draft.
They have, well, we'll see how that foot goes.
Yes, if the foot is a huge issue, then that would be,
They have Ben McLemore.
It's not bad.
And Sauce Castillo.
Sauce, who I didn't realize. So Greg also writes, apparently Greg doesn't ask questions. He posts pictures with questions. Thoughts, David West likely to sign with the Knicks. Free agent David West. Yeah, so we already talked about David West. Yep. Both of us don't think he'd be a bad addition at all. Patrick writes, does Jay feel any level of guilt knowing that his jokes in the previous episodes about drafting Porzingis probably turned it into reality because Dolan is just trolling him?
Oh, I wasn't joking. I was serious about Porzingis.
If you've been listening, Jay's been high on Porzingis for some God knows where God knows. I don't know why. You've been talking about him for a while.
Yes, it's like February.
No, I cannot believe you nailed this. This is unbelievable. I also am just shocked Philly didn't take him. I mean, he seemed like a perfect fit for Philly.
Yeah.
I bet you know what probably swung it is that Okafor probably said, "There's no way in God's green earth I'm going to play for Philly next year," and Philly said, "Perfect."
Exactly. You're a man.
Ali says, so Melo is super pissed and rightfully so. To be bold, if Melo is going to be pout and be bitch about this, he knew exactly what he was doing. You are getting played max and now you're going to bitch about it? I would be, yeah. No, you're going to drop your trade clause. I'm going to call LA and be like, here's Melo. He's on the plane already over there. And give me Russell and first round picks and call it a good day.
If we could get Russell and Parker for Melo, that would be the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, LA's not going to do that.
Probably
at most, you get one of those guys.
I really just want them to be stupid. Come on, make it happen.
I think you have a better chance of getting Parker. Which I'd be fine with.
Yeah.
I feel like they're not going to trade Russell. But anyway, I'd be happy to trade Melo. If we can get something good for him. Greg also sends a picture of Stephen A. Smith, who... contrary to all this noise, Melo has not asked to be traded. And no one has said he has to be traded, Stephen A. Smith.
Stephen A. Smith likes to start stuff and then make like he's doing damage control from the stuff he started.
I just said, I talked to Melo, and Melo said this is the worst thing that's ever happened to him. He doesn't want to ever play for the Knicks. But listen, he did not ask to be traded. I don't know where all this stuff's going on about. Greg writes, if Philly didn't pick Okafor, do you think Phil would have drafted him?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It sounded like all indication they were going to take him. Greg writes, what if he's willing, DeAndre Jordan, if he's willing to come here, yeah. I mean, what kind of deal would you give DeAndre Jordan?
$15 million?
What's max money? Max
it depends money is what, how long you've been in the league.
But yeah, I'd give him $15 million. I would like Jordan here. I think he'd be a pretty solid guy to get.
But I don't. On the other hand, I wouldn't pay him $20 million because he's a guy who can kill you with free throws.
Serious question: second overall pick was announced, and you were Okafor. How would you feel? Let's see if you can hear this, Jay. What is this? What is he playing here? I don't know. It's a picture of whatever. It's a picture of some girl he posted. I thought there was a video, but whatever. We already went over how Okafor felt. Mark, was this Greg writes? Mark, was this your reaction? Do you want to play that video? I don't think you can hear it on my end. The guy complaining.
Oh yeah. Let me go to that.
Can you hear it?
No.
Did you hear that?
No,
okay. Can you want to play it?
Yeah. I'm gonna pull it up.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. So this is a reaction of a guy who was watching the draft and was not very happy about it. I'm pulling it up. We have a million questions. Getting to it.
Okay, well, next question from Greg was, if Melo demanded the trade because of Porzingis' draft, would you be happy? I'd be happy if they said Melo demands a trade, and here's one they've already worked out. That sounds pretty good.
Here we go.
They drafted who? Who the fuck is this? This cocksucker might not even have a fucking green card. Get the fuck out of here, you motherfucker. Who the fuck is this kid?
I'm pretty certain he doesn't have a green card. That's that I'm positive about. He probably is here on a visa.
right.
And it would be great if the Knicks couldn't get him, get in the player, because they couldn't work out the visa issue.
That's hilarious. I love that.
That's really funny.
I just love how outraged he is.
I mean, the thing is, though, if you hadn't brought up Porzingis, I mean, I guess we would have heard about him because we're following him, but, like, if you hadn't heard of his name, like, it still was like, what the fuck are the Knicks doing?
I don't know what everyone's talking about. I've been saying this for months.
It's not as... I didn't follow the draft. Like, I wasn't... Do you remember being super angry about Frederick Weiss?
No, I don't think I followed as much back then.
I didn't follow as closely to be as angry.
What year was that?
That was a long time ago. That was what year is Frederick Rice? Stat guy, where the hell are you, Stat guy? It's like we did the show without your Stat guy. Completely screwed you over. Frederick Weiss was drafted in, taking too long, Wikipedia. He was drafted in 99. Oh, he was only the 15th pick. For some reason I thought he was a higher pick.
Yeah, the way Knicks fans make this out, I thought it was like a number three pick or something.
Yeah, I mean, like this is Porzingis is going to be such a greater bust than this guy. It's not even going to be really close. Everyone was annoyed because they missed like Ron Artest by one pick, and everyone wanted Ron Artest.
Yeah, it was. I think that was one of those things where it was kind of obvious that Ron Artest was a good pick.
Yeah, it's like Justice Winslow. He's like a two-way player, and he's really good on defense, and we're going to pass him up, and we're going to be really pissed we didn't have Justice Winslow.
You're going to eat your words.
I would love to eat my words. Greg also writes, because this is just us and Greg podcast today.
we'll just change the name of the show to GregCast.
The whole, I hope Kobe can keep his hands to himself in Denver this time. Hashtag rapist by Larry Nance Jr., who's now on the late. Do you think Kobe really makes a big deal about this?
No.
I really think this is like more of the media. I don't think he's... I think all Kobe cares about is, can you help us win?
Yep.
Greg also writes, it appears that Jay has a point. Dirk, when he was drafted, was very thin also. Yes. Every European, when they were drafted, was very thin. Dirk worked out. And Dirk took a while to work out, obviously. But not obviously, but he was a bit of a project and obviously worked out. Greg also writes, Carmelo's displeasure with the draft. Who gives a crap? I mean, Jay, I don't know how much you make a year, but if someone comes in, if they hire someone else you're not too fond of, do you announce to your boss that you hate this hire?
Only if I'm an obnoxious, egotistical asshole.
Now, I think you probably make less than $25 million a year. Now, if you made $25 million, would you suddenly become an egotistical asshole? Would you,
Maybe. If I thought I was God, then yeah, maybe.
Oh, you know, I don't, this is not even for the show, but I kind of want to share this anyway. I was coming home today, and some guy was just like chewing out I have a building with a doorman, and some guy was chewing out the doorman. First of all, I don't know why you would be mean to this person. It's not like this person has the greatest job. I mean, that's a fine job. But to be mean to the guy, like, it was the guy, I was walking by, the guy goes, you're calling me stupid. I earn $175,000 a year, and I'm stupid, and I'm stupid.
Oh, God. I was like, I hate people like
that. Oh, my God. This is, I had to, like, stop, and, like, I kind of wanted to, like, listen to the rest of the conversation, because this guy was, my dad, you know who my dad is? My dad knows so-and-so who knows the buildings. I was like, oh, my God. You are seriously the world's biggest asshole I've ever.
There was a great Mr. Show skit about how your greatness is defined by how much money you have, and it was talking about how Einstein died broke, and he's like, "Yeah, I don't want to be as dumb as Einstein." And it was a really funny skit.
I just couldn't be like the guy said, "I'm like, wait, did he really just say this in real life?
Yep, there are people like that.
Yeah, that's just like one of those like cliche moments out of a movie that you're like, that's too stupid. No one's that big of an asshole in real life. Nils writes,
let's start moving faster.
Yes, okay, we're almost done. By almost done, not even close. Nils says, since the Knicks addressed needs in the draft, what free agents should the Knicks sign? Since you mean the Knicks addressed no needs in the draft? Well, the point guard thing. We've already talked about free agents. We've already kind of started talking about that. George writes a post about Melo not liking Porzingis. George writes, there was an article about Doug West saying that he will probably sign with the Knicks. And the reason why he didn't sign with Indiana is because, I think he means David West, obviously. Yeah. Why he didn't sign with Indiana is because he always knew he was going. Is this an indication that there are deals going on and Phil is keeping tight-lipped? Also, what do you guys think about that if we were to add him, talk about it? Evan writes, would you be okay with stinking?
Based on that, you're not allowed to talk to players until, I think, July 1st. So, you know, a lot of teams are pulling like, hey, Melo, why don't you ask David West if he wants to come to the Knicks for $10 million a year? You know, there's a lot of that going on because you're not allowed to directly talk to a team.
Right, right. They all do all these, they have all these things that are like back channel, like.
Yeah.
Evan writes, would you be okay with sinking for a year or two more if Porzingis ends up being a best player from the draft? This is really Derek Fisher's fault for allowing Hardaway to screw us.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, of course. If we get the best player in the draft, that's. Of course, they'll be like, I can't believe Porzingis is the best player in the draft of the worst draft of all time. it'll be some kind of thing where we get screwed by the devil.
It's like literally the top 10 were all busts and Porzingis was the only good one.
Yeah, like the basketball gods are like, Porzingis is the best player in the draft. Of course, Porzingis will average no more than 3 points a game in this draft. Everyone else will die. Gillum writes, Euro power. I hope so. We're going all Europe. I mean, the team that has probably the most European players is San Antonio, and they seem to win a lot. Mm-hmm. Grant writes, is Phil drafting Horace Grant's nephew dodgy in the same way as Dolan signing Chris Smith? No.
No.
I mean,
Grant answered it perfectly. Jerian Grant actually knows how to play basketball.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, Grant, like, it seems like a pretty good prospect, and he his team made a pretty decent run in the tournament.
Also, Horace and Harvey Grant aren't currently on the team.
Also, I'd rather take from the Grant family than the Smith family.
That too.
Harry writes, so Tyson Chandler and he and Smith and Shumpert were all traded for nothing, and Tim for an effing 19 pick. Phil Jackson, we got shaking my head. Phil, what could we have got with those assets?
I think Phil got what he could have gotten.
I think he could have traded Shump the year before for something. He could have gotten more for Tyson Chandler.
Okay, Chandler, he probably could have got more. I don't think he could have got more for JR.
I think we're agreed. We couldn't get more for JR. Harry writes, how happy are Tim Hardaway? The bum is gone-y. Yeah. How happy are you that Tim Hardaway's gone? Yes, very happy.
Very.
Harry also writes, Mark, apparently this is all you have to do is identify. Okay, the order of everything. It's just so, hang on.
I know. I don't understand that one.
Mark Cause, apparently all you have to do is identity as Mark, LOL. Harry also writes, wow, please check out Jerry and Grant YouTube clip since that is all Jay goes by. This kid's good. Kind of scary potential. He looks good.
Yeah.
Harry, I'm excited about him. Harry also writes, I'm way more excited. Harry apparently stealing Grant's role. I am way more excited with Jerry and Grant than Porzingis. This kid almost beat Kentucky this season and had a crazy game against Duke. I totally agree. I know you're more excited about Porzingis, but I'm more excited about Grant. Harry also writes, Willie Cauley-Stein, I'm so mad about Porzingis. This is a project and a 3 to 5 year guy. When we passed up NBA-ready guys now, WTF, to get another 7-footer. Jason Smith, Cole Aldridge, and Bargs ain't effing enough. And this kid is not even a damn starter in Spain. Not even an effing starter. WTF, why play the Clapton?
That's like our her tag phrase, play the Clapton.
Yeah, I just think, forget the 3 to 5 year thing, and I understand the idea that it would be nicer to have a guy contribute right now. It's more, I just think those other guys are going to be better NBA players. Ollie writes, also, David West wants to come to us. I would be extremely hesitant. I understand he's a Warrior, but he left $12 million on the table in Indiana. The only reason he's going to come here is because of the cash, and we're going to overpay heavily for the 34-year-old. Like we always have, people should have be happy until we find out how much his contract is here. Yeah, I think we all agree that we don't want to give him like a max deal, and we want to get him on a reasonable deal. Would you pay him $12
million? No.
How much would you pay him?
$8 million.
I'd pay him $10 million.
There you go.
Okay. If we pay him $12 million, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
The contract. Also, we get a lot more money in the draft next. When the salary cap goes up next year, so let's see who else we get. I don't know. Phil thinks he knows what he's doing. William writes, if a trade falls in the forest, it is because Jay knocked it down.
Okay.
William writes, I mean picked Porzingis. Mark, are you leaving to the suburbs because Jay licked Porzingis? William writes, Mark, so you hate Jay for making Phil draft Porzingis? Yes, I hate you, Jay. William also writes, why does Jay make this draft choice based on YouTube clips?
I watched I watched multiple clips.
I'm sorry. Is anyone making their pick based on having gone scout these guys in person?
I went to Spain to watch the EuroLeague.
Jay went to Croatia to find out the guy was from Latvia and playing in Spain.
This is why I can't afford $279 for Ustream. Because I spent all my money traveling abroad to scout Porzingis.
We all watched some videos of these guys. Any of you watched them in college? Whatever, we're not getting private workouts. Ali writes, hold me, guys. I need a hug and therapy for consistent mind effery that this team, you guys should start a therapeutic Knicks support group. It's called the Knicks podcast page. For all us heartbroken and sad fans, it would help.
Go to the Facebook group.
We have a Facebook group. That's what our Facebook group is. Ali writes, seriously, though, now history is going to repeat itself, and everybody we passed on and got picked before us is going to be an all-star while we're stuck going, he's white and 7 foot and averaging 10 and 5, and yay, still furious to pick. Like last night, I could probably have hit Phil Jackson on the street with my car, and if he got me two Knicks fans on the jury, Not do a day in jail. So effing ridiculous. When this misery will end, guys, when I will experience what Golden State experiences or the Spurs experience or the Lakers or what every other effing team will experience before us.
They drafted who? Who the fuck is this? This cocksucker might not even have a fucking green card. Get the fuck out of here, you motherfucker. Who the fuck is this kid?
Okay, so what I really want is that when Porzingis averages 10 and 5, shoots like 45% or 43%, like he's like basically when he's a decent player, but not a great player, people not being like, oh, well, you know what? It still worked out because we got a pretty good player and he's a contributor. This traffic only works out if this guy's an all-star.
Right, but on the other hand, if like Moutier is a complete bust, then it's like, well, we still got the better player.
So is it based on how bad the other guys are and how good Porzingis is? What? How good does Porzingis have to be for you to say this was a good draft pick? Nothing great, but a good draft pick.
Well, I think that's what you have to do it in comparison with everyone else as well.
Like, well, what if Moutier is terrible, but Cauley-Stein is a stud?
I think Moutier and Cauley-Stein would both have to be bad for you to say.
Here's the thing. Picks 5 through 10, at least one of those guys is going to be a pretty good player.
Right.
It's pretty much guaranteed that one of those guys is going to be a pretty good player.
You can't, like, I don't know. You can't.
I think it really is a matter of how good Porzingis is. Because you can't just say, hey, he had a lot of potential, and we took a chance, and it didn't work out. You don't take a chance at number four. You try to get the player that's really good.
I don't think
I get if it was just like that Moutier was the only guy they could have taken, but they were seriously talking about Winslow. There was talk about Cauley Stein. There was talk about Frank Kaminsky. But
I don't think anybody was a given. I don't think
I agree. No one was a given, but like in the sense of if it was Towns and Okafor, and Towns ended up being a pretty good player, but Okafor's a complete bust, you could say, well, at least we got the better player, and it was like these are the only two guys you really could have taken.
Mm-hmm.
One of these guys that we could have taken is going to be pretty good.
Yeah. All right. Let's
so how good is Porzingis have to be? That's the real question. Just forgetting the other players, how good does Porzingis have to be for you to be like, I'm glad we made this pick?
A solid starter.
What's he got to put up?
15-7.
Okay. And when?
2 years.
So two full. It's like in his third year or in his second year?
Let's say.
I'm gonna hold you to this shit, guy.
Third year.
Okay, third year, 15-7, and shoot a good percentage?
He'll still only be 21.
Whatever.
He's got to be a good shooter. Okay. From three-point land, like 36% or more, hovering around.
And at least 45% from two?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And like somewhere at least 80% from the free throw line.
Serviceable D, not an embarrassment?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Ollie writes, wow, just wow. Porzingis, another Euro. When will we ever learn? I think Phil was back there popping bottles with big booty hose, twerking the wagon going up down on the pole and smoking them Cubans while popping a Molly and hey, sweating, tossing salad, i.e., LOL. Sorry, Mark, it just makes me laugh when you try to speak Ebonics, LOL. So basically, Porzingis is a success if he turns out to be Gallinari.
Yeah.
Whatever. He's got to be better than Gallinari for this to be a success. You could have traded the pick to get Gallinari back and gotten on Denver's pick.
That is true.
Daryl writes, I think it is obvious Phil had a plan around Melo. When he started this year, when it all unraveled, do you think he saw the writing on the wall and has shifted focus to rebuild? This week obviously upset Melo, but Phil is paid to ensure sustained success over time, not just Melo round one playoff disappointment. Am I being too kind?
I think you nailed it. I think Phil realized you can't. They're not going to win now, and you have to shift toward a rebuild. And you know, we catered to Melo for the last 6 years, and it didn't work. And now he's being realistic.
I mean, he's been brought here to win games over time, to make this team a good team over time. It doesn't matter about how we are next year. It matters basically, are we building towards something?
Mm-hmm.
How many wins do you think next year to be considered a success? Do we have to make the 8th seed? We have no draft picks, so it doesn't like being bad doesn't help us.
Right. Yeah, I would say 8th seed.
Okay.
I mean, it's going to be a terrible. I think the East is going to be even worse next year. So,
well, how's it going to get worse?
Because I think some of the teams who made the playoffs are even worse this year. I mean, I think Chicago is going to be worse. I think Atlanta is going to be worse. I don't see anybody like getting much better.
Wizards probably be a little better.
Wizards and I'd say Wizards, Bucks, and Celtics are a little better. But overall, it's going to be really bad.
The Bucks is the only team that I see like really making any kind of move.
Mm-hmm.
And Philly's going to be terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you have basically Embiid's probably not going to play. That guy, Saric's not coming back over here, or whatever his name is. And you have Okafor pairing with a Neuro. William writes, last question is Tree.
All right.
Okay.
And Landon sent us a picture of NBA 2K22, and Porzingis is on the cover.
Sounds good to me. That would be that would be quite a dream.
Yeah.
What did you learn today, Jay?
I learned that even though we did a show 36 hours ago, we still did an hour and a half show.
Yes!
That's all I learned.
Do you think Porzingis has been alive for more? What's numbers higher? How many years Porzingis has been alive for, or how much he weighs?
I think it's close. I can't believe you're so down on this.
I can't believe you're so... I know you're so up in this because you've been talking about this forever because you're like, I saw a YouTube clip and Phil saw the same clip and that's why we're both high on him. He looked... You watched the part of the clip where they showed him on defense?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Oh, apparently you didn't watch the rest of the clip.
Lots of black shots.
He was getting shoved around like no other.
That's fine.
Out of position, there was...
Guy grew 2 inches last year. He's getting used to his new body.
You're right. I'm excited for how good Bargs is when he enters the NBA.
All right, before we go, I got to hear it one more time.
They drafted who? Who the fuck is this? This cocksucker might not even have a fucking green card. Get the fuck out of here, you motherfucker. Who the fuck is this kid?
You should have opened the show with that. That's where we screwed up.
I can't handle that guy.
That's awesome. Oh,
that
God.
Is the greatest thing.
I hope this guy... I can't... When does Summer League start?
I know the Vegas League is the end of July. I don't know when that Summer League is.
Oh, I mean, I'm excited for Summer League at least.
I think that's in
Gotta
August.
See how this guy is.
I think Summer League's in August.
You better look good in Summer League. Competition's not that strong there.
All right, we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening, everybody.
This is the end. Say goodbye. You better go away. I'm gonna leave.